Now, summer is here, lots of people thinking about their summer drinking, particularly if you're having a barbecue and drinking outside, or maybe you like a red rather than a white. Things to consider, though. English wine's really on the up, and I'm delighted to be joined by Grant Headley at BBC Good Food Wine Club in association with Laithwaite's. Grant, English wines, first of all, I remember them a few years ago being very Germanic and not really very good. Very different now.
No, absolutely. I mean, basically, it's almost like a two-pronged attack at the moment. We've got these world-class sparkling wines. They really are world-class. Entered into international wine competitions, and they're doing extremely well. Top quality vineyards, excellent sites, great soils, and small production. Lots of really passionate people making it. It's like a real artisan product and making the most beautiful wines. They really are world class. The other part is the still wines, which you absolutely right alluded to. You know, we went with these Germanic early ripening grape varieties, sort of from the 50s. Well, two things. They are coming to the fore now more and more because the climate is warmer than it was, say, 20, 30 years ago. So you are getting sort of more ripeness and more flavour in some of those wines. But also we're seeing the advent of still wines, Chardonnay, Pinot Noirs, lots of rosés. It's really, really exciting. And part of the excitement for me as well is you can go and talk to the people that make it. Mm. You know, we don't have to go over to the continent and to find our favourite producers. You know, we can pop down to the local wineries. You know, we're in Dorset, you're in Kent, you're in Sussex, you're in Oxfordshire, wherever you are. And a lot of these places have got really, really great visitors' experiences. So they'll employ chefs, they'll do tasting menus. It's just absolutely wonderful. And not just as an Englishman, but as a wine professional, it is just so very exciting. It's great.
You mentioned the change in the weather, the climate change, which has made a difference. The soil, I guess, is pretty much still the same, but there must be new grape varieties. And have we just got better at it? Have we learnt from the French and some of the other New World winemakers, for example?
Absolutely. I think it could be. You could argue it's a bit of a realisation. Like, so, oh, crikey, actually, we can do this. So so the first sparkling wine vineyards, for instance, were planted in the UK in 1989. And then quickly others followed, like the Roberts family Ridgeview in the sort of mid-90s. But still, we're at a situation where half of our vineyards have been planted in the last 7 or 8 years. So we're still, like, in our infancy. So partly, I think there's a realisation, actually, we can do this. Actually, these limitations that we thought our climate was giving us, it doesn't really exist. So yeah, the soils are the same. So I think it's a realization of the potential. As you alluded to, consulting with people who are experts, like the champagne houses, coming over here, helping us choose the best sites, find us investigating, choosing the best soils, south-facing slopes, planting the right grape varieties. Yeah, it's a really great celebration, and yeah, I'm really proud and passionate to talk about it. So,
are we still better at whites than we are at reds?
Yeah, we are. I mean, basically, reds sort of demand more ripeness that maybe our climate doesn't offer. Pinot Noir likes a cool climate, so you know, some of our Pinot Noirs are excellent. The sparkling wines, the reason they're so good is you really don't need a great deal of ripeness, or don't even want a great deal of ripeness in the grape when you pick it. Because a lot of the flavours and aromas come from the process of making, the second fermentation, the lees aging, and so on and so forth. So that's why they're so stunning. But yeah, generally the reds, look for the really warm years. So 2018 was a good time to taste those reds. And so far this year, 2023, well, they might be worth a look in as well. Because it's certainly a very warm June we're having at the moment.
Lots of people, as I alluded to before, will be looking perhaps for wines to drink outdoors, something a bit lighter, something very fresh that's going to go with their barbecue and their salads.
Yes.
What should they be looking for in those wines? Because I guess English wines have a character of their own.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the sort of situations that you're mentioning there, they sort of demand wines with freshness and lightness and elegance. And our whites lend themselves very well to that naturally, because it's a cooler climate. All of our wines are going to be generally sort of fresher and more elegant. So, you know, what to look for? Well, I mean, we're tasting a few wines here today at the show, and we've got a really lovely Bacchus, which is wonderful. If you like Sauvignon Blanc, Bacchus is worth a look in. Really lovely sort of aromatics and quite sort of herbaceous, and a little bit sort of elderflowery, very English. So that's great. And then also, I mean, you're spoilt for sparkling wine producers. You can't go wrong. As I mentioned, small production. You know, they might even have like a couple of hectares per vineyard, tiny. And so much passion, so much dedication. You can't go wrong with an English sparkling wine.
Mm. the thing that people often say to me is, I'd like to drink English sparkling wines and English still wines, but actually, cost of living crisis is on. They sure. do look a bit more expensive. Sure. And that's probably a fair comment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, firstly, it's a very labour-intensive process. So the prices are comparative to champagne, I would suggest. Again, same process. But also, you've got economies of scale. So you have got, you know, we're not producing, you know, tens of thousands of bottles of these wines, you know, as a champagne house might be. You know, we're producing a few thousand, maybe 10, maybe 20,000 bottles. So so it's partly, you know, the economies of scale. And it is a bit of a pinch. And, you know, we have a more or a less predictable climate. So there is that that's got to be factored in as well. So.
We're seeing some, just finally, some small sort of artisan producers. I know in the part of the world that I live in the southwest, six friends who drank in a pub, bought a field, planted vines, yes. and have now produced an award-winning sparkling wine.
Amazing.
That's just great, isn't it?
It's wonderful, yeah. And it's, you know, there are so many echoes, similar stories that happen throughout the trade. And it's driven by passion and dreams.
Grant, really good to catch up with you. Many
nice
thanks.
Nice to see you. Thank you.